We're going to continue talking about the inner man and the outward man. And today about the mind of the spirit, that your inner man has a place to hold knowledge that comes from God. That's a powerful thing to know, that before you're saved, you couldn't understand the things of God. The disciples, before they were saved, couldn't comprehend the full truth of what Jesus was telling them. Now that you're born again, your inner man came to life. You received that new nature, which brought to life that reborn human spirit. That human spirit, the inner man, was rebirthed. And now it's seeking the knowledge of God. It's seeking a relationship with God, because it can hold the truth that God speaks. God can speak a truth to you, and you'll be able to understand it in your inner man. So let's look at some of that today, knowing that no matter who you are, no matter what your capabilities in your outward man is, whether you got straight A's in class or you didn't do well in school, in English or in language studies, you have the capacity as a born-again believer, now that your inner man has been brought to life, to understand and comprehend the things of God. We want to talk about that language today, that knowledge from God today. There is a knowledge from God that he's had forever that makes sense to him to speak a word into the universe to be created, to speak a word and the sun come to light. It makes sense to God. It's not a mystery to him. It's not puzzling to him. It's not a guess, hope it works. It makes sense to him that when we pray for the sick, that they will recover. There is a logic from God that is divine. And he wants to pass that divine knowledge to his children. That's you and me. But before we were saved, we couldn't comprehend it. So many in the church world are striving to comprehend the scripture, the meaning of the scripture, the word of God, which is truth, with their natural intellect. And they get some things right, but they get many things wrong. The natural man, the natural brain in your outward man cannot comprehend the things of God. But now you have a spiritual mind that is just waiting to be filled with truth and knowledge directly from God. And we're going to see that picture here, mainly in 1 Corinthians. Let's start in chapter 4, verse 1. And it's exciting to know that I'm not limited in knowledge, that I can have as much of God and learn as much about God and how he does things and why he does things. You know, knowledge is knowing something, but understanding is knowing why it works. You know, you can have knowledge that if I put gasoline in my car, it runs. You know, I turn the key, I put gas in the car, vroom, vroom, it goes. But to understand how it all works is different. God wants you to understand his ways, to understand him. He doesn't want to withhold any secret from you. And he has given us a way to download his truth into our spiritual man that's been reborn. Chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, verse 1, Paul says about the pastors and apostles and leaders, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." If you want to underline mysteries, that'll be a big word we're going to look at today. We as preachers are to be, or anyone who speaks for Jesus, does that be a pulpit preacher, anyone who shares this is what the word means or the word says or this is what God thinks, anyone who speaks for God, we are to be stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, we want to first obtain those mysteries. And then we want to share those mysteries, not mysteries mixed with our opinion or with doctrine of man or doctrines of devils. We want to share the pure truth of mysteries that the Holy Spirit has taught us, that we've learned from God himself. That is a definition, that we should not ever preach anything that we think or our opinion is, but only the things that the mysteries. Let me share a mystery that I've learned from God. And a truth from God is like a gold brick of knowledge. It's got power in it because it's the truth of all truth. Everything else is wrong when it doesn't match up to the truth of God. Many preachers say, well, the Word of God is the truth. And I preach from the Word of God, and they're not wrong. The Word of God is the truth. It is a holy book. It is a divine book of God's knowledge that He shared with men and had them write it, but it was written, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This Bible that you have is an inspired Word of God, and you'll find the truth of God in it. That's the danger, right? Every church with all the different names who believe different things, including churches that aren't born again, cults that claim to be Christian, they use the same, basically the same Bible you do. So they have taken the Word of God and misinterpreted it, or interpreted it with their understanding or their thinking, and use the Word to say, well, I got it from the Bible. And I love how Gary says that Bible says that Judas hung himself, and the Bible says, go and do likewise. You know, you can mix and match all kinds of verses and have it say whatever your pet theology is, using the Word of God, the pages and the written Word. What's valuable about it isn't the written Word as much as the truth that the written Word is sharing. And the only way you'll ever discover the full truth of the Scripture is with the one who wrote it, with the help of the one who wrote it, the Holy Spirit. Because what we share, we can destroy lives, we can take people and destroy hope, misguide people, all using the Word of God as our source because we misinterpreted it. Paul is laying a claim here that as preachers, anyone who speaks for Jesus needs to be sharing the mysteries that he was taught and learned from the Holy Spirit. And if you don't learn it, your opinion does not have power, even if it's a good opinion. And when I look at the modern church today, I see so much of worldly ideas and philosophies. And now, in our age, in this time, I'm seeing a lot of the worldly standards begin to creep into the church, trying to use the love of Christ as a reason why we should lower our standards and let everyone say they're a Christian, and everyone be involved when they're not living holy. And so I'm seeing the world system creep into the church and begin to mix and make a wrong doctrines and wrong thoughts of God. We want to only share the wisdom and mysteries. When I say mysteries here, the word mysteries is what we'd call ancient knowledge of God. Ancient, even before man was created. Ancient wisdom of God that makes raising the dead and seeing blind eyes open and cripples walk normal. Like, oh yeah, this just do this and it'll work. To him, it's normal. But we're stuck trying to understand something that we'll never comprehend in the natural man's mind. And really, that's why I think even the goals of what God can do on this earth through believers has been lowered so much to where we no longer are pursuing laying hands on the sick and they recover. We're no longer really pursuing, like Jesus, every single person who came to Jesus was healed the first time, every time, no exceptions. No one came to Jesus with a need and said, will you pray for me? I need to be healed, that didn't receive their miracle from Jesus. No one. But yet we have standards today where, yeah, go out, lay hands on the sick, and you might see 5, 10, 30%. You know, great, good job. And next week we'll get for 31%. But really, there's a path in here, in the Scripture. There's a path in here for you and for me to walk like Jesus walked, in His love, in His holiness, and see the Holy Spirit be able to perform the same miracles and more that He was able to do through Christ. That seems a little blasphemous if you're stuck in a thought of God where, how dare you say that we can be like Jesus? Well, I'm not the one saying that. The scripture says that. Jesus said that we will, with the help of the Father. Let's go there over in John 14. Jesus says, I'll start in verse 10. Do you not believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, do I not speak in my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sakes of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now Jesus is focusing on the works, the miracles, the signs and wonders, seeing people healed and delivered of all sorts and sizes. There was no limitation. The Bible says the world can't contain the books that recorded all that happened because of Jesus being on this earth. And it may seem a little bit blasphemous when we think, well, you know, who am I to even compare myself? Well, that's the key of understanding the inner man and outward man. Your inner man has been birthed of God. You received a new nature, and that brought to life the inner man that is made in true righteousness and holiness. We don't heal anyone. The Holy Spirit is always the healer. But now your inner man can develop the very love of Christ that Jesus walked in. And that's the key to understanding authority. That the love of Christ that develops in me, forms in me as I seek His face and pray in the Holy Ghost, that's the authority the Holy Spirit desires to use and needs to use for Him to do through you what He did through Jesus. Now, there are certain groups of us who have grabbed hold of this verse of the possibility. Praise God. Jesus said that the works that He did, I will do also. And greater works than these He will do because I go to the Father. So we ran out into the crowds. Let me pray for you. Be healed. And we ran into a ceiling where we couldn't get above a certain level of healing. Whatever that may be, bad knees, bad backs, blind eyes, but you always run into a dead end where no matter what you said or how you prayed or how much faith you thought you had, somebody left without their miracle. And so I see that even those who are hungry to see the miracles in this verse come to pass, lower the standard to where it's about laying on of hands more than it is about, and they will recover. And we leave many people broken when we do that. But see, this is not a wishful thinking on God's part. It's not a wishful thinking on God's part to say these words through Jesus, that the works that He did, we can do also. That's not wishful thinking. There's a path there, a logical path, a path that works for any believer who chooses to get on this path to begin to walk into those miracles, into the things that Jesus did. And not just the miracles, not just the signs and wonders. The doctrine, the truth, the love of Christ, the peace of Christ, the joy of Christ, the holiness that Christ walked in. That's a path that's available only through you when you pursue love, pursue developing the love of Christ in you. I'm getting off topic here. Let me get back on subject. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians 1. And let's see, we'll start in verse 24. Now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh for what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of His body, which is the church. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now I want to make another statement here. The word of God is not technically your Bible that you have in your hand or on your whatever iPad or whatever now it is. The Word of God is the truth that's within the writings. And if you can't get that truth to rise up where you see it and learn it, then you'll always be misinterpreting what God means. And Paul is saying here, in which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which had been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. So Paul's saying, I have been given a word of God to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And the mystery which had been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory and the mysteries among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, Paul preached and taught the mysteries that he learned from the Holy Spirit. He didn't teach his own opinion. In fact, he had to get rid of and overcome all the knowledge he gained when he was a young Pharisee. He had to unlearn that and learn the truth. And that's the kind of the picture of the inner man that's so very important, that you're not trying to reshape your thinking. You're trying to build up the knowledge in your spiritual man, which can hold the truth. Your natural man, the mind of the natural man must bow its knee and become a servant to the mind of the inner man. And we'll probably talk about that next session, hopefully. How it works. How is it that the Holy Spirit teaches us and we grow in that knowledge and begin to understand how things work. Why we can have confidence when we pray for someone that they will be healed. Where it's not just rolling the dice, saying, well, I hope it works. Give me a lucky number 7. 7's a holy number, praise God. Lucky number 7, yes. And hope it works when you pray for them. And if it doesn't work, we leave them there in their condition. No, every single person who came to Jesus received their miracle. Every time, first time, every time, no exceptions. And we can do that as well. That's not blasphemous. That is believing the word of God. But there's a path in there. There's a path here. We call it the walk of the Spirit, which is when you allow the Holy Spirit to teach your inner man the very mysteries of God. And we're going to see that here in a moment. Paul, again, talking about the mysteries. Let's look at another verse. Let me rephrase that. Paul talking about the mysteries and how it was God's design for you, the church, also to learn these mysteries. Over in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, I'll start in verse 1. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. So see, that is a mystery, an assignment, a mystery that the Holy Spirit gave to Paul to bring forward to the Gentiles. If indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Let me emphasize this again. The mysteries of God first must come to you, so then you could pass that mystery to someone else. Preaching should never be about personality, should never be about it being excited, although that's okay. It's okay to be an exciting preacher, as long as what you're preaching is the mysteries of God, the ancient wisdom of God that came from God to you. Not even just from the Word. The Word, we can read the Word of God from the Bible. Read it out loud and say, there you go. There's a segment of people that believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't preach to us, doesn't talk to us anymore, that we only have the Word of God, the Bible, to hear God's directions and God's voice. But you better preach it the way they believe it, or your interpretation of the Word of God is not good enough for them. They have their interpretation. If you don't agree with them, you're going to hell. But But they don't believe that the Holy Spirit is active today in His children, in God's children. How sad. Where the Holy Spirit wants to teach you personally, not anything outside of what you could. The Scripture is our foundation. Anything that you say, someone says, well, the Lord told me this, and it doesn't line up with the foundation of the truth of the Word of God, the Bible, you don't want to listen to them. Just because they had a vision or a dream or an experience, it has to, anything like that should add to the truth in the Word of God, not be above the Word of God or different than the Word of God. And there's a lot of that going around. Heresies, you might say. So Ephesians 3, verse 2, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, let's read that again, a little more careful. How that by revelation he has made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So it's not as simple as the Holy Spirit tells me something and I tell it to you. Here, Paul is describing how to be a steward of the mysteries. Is I, Paul, or I, Alan, or you must receive that understanding, that revelation, that mystery into your own self. And then once you have it and understand it and been taught by the Holy Spirit that ancient revelation, that ancient knowledge, then you share it and pass it to someone else. It's not good enough just to read the Word of God out loud and say, there you go, there's your teaching. There is revelation and understanding within that reading that God wants to bring forward so that we can really understand why we are pursuing a revival. Why are we pursuing the miracles of healing? Why are we pursuing a holiness at the standard that Jesus walked in, a love at the standard that Jesus walked in? How dare you think you could have that? That's divine. That's not for you. You're just a simple Bible-believing child of God. Go do your job and don't even think that you can walk like Jesus walked. That's what many people believe. Many churches believe that. That we're just lucky to get into heaven. We're sinners saved by grace. Hallelujah. We're just getting in by the skin of our teeth. There is a walk available for every believer. No matter where you start, where you come from, that your inner man has been born of God, meaning you can actually develop in that inner man. I'll rephrase that. The Holy Spirit can develop through you, with you, the love of Jesus, the holiness of Jesus, the understanding that Jesus walked in, the obedience of Jesus. That's available for you, but you cannot do it by yourself. You can't do it with willpower or strength. That's why I get so frustrated when I hear, well, it's already done. Everything's done. I'm full of Christ. I just have to accept who I am. I identify. It's like role playing. Today I'm identifying with my spiritual man. I'm a child of God. I'm righteous. Yeah, but tomorrow when I want to eat a lot of hamburgers and pizza or get in trouble or do something I'm not supposed to or get angry, then I'm going to role play and identify with my outward man. There is a process where your inner man can grow in the things of God. It will actually develop the love of Christ in there. And it can grow in the knowledge of God and understanding of His mysteries. And from that place, from that development of the inner man, we then begin to mortify, put to death the ideas, thoughts, opinions, deeds of the body, the outward man. We can live in the knowledge of the inner man as it grows, and we can live out of the love of the inner man as it's developed in you. That is the process of transformation. But it's available for everyone if they don't lose heart and stay on this path of the walk of the Spirit. Let's keep reading here. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So the mystery, that the gospel was for the Gentiles, not just for the Jews, that they could also be born into the family of God through Jesus. That was assigned to Paul. Verse 9 and 10, let's read that together. And 11. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus our Lord. So we're not supposed to be teaching principalities and powers knowledge. It is a result of the mysteries and wisdom that we'll be able to express God's will to every city, to every nation, and push back the works of the devil and confront it and bust through the gate and rescue people from hell, because the source of that understanding that we can do that is the mysteries of God that he says about who you are and who he made you and who he is. God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. The more I spend time with him and learning things, I'm ashamed of how little I thought he was, how I had accepted things in my life as being, yeah, okay, good enough. But the more I discover who he is, it's shocking to me how amazing he is, how capable he is, and that his desire is to express who he is to the world, to a lost world. But there is a blockage that he can't express who he is to the world because his children are lacking in knowledge of who they are, in understanding of who they are, in understanding of who he is. And so he is limited by the dysfunction of the church. The way we get out of dysfunction is going to simply be by you getting out of your dysfunction, me getting out of my dysfunction, my wrong thinking. He will teach you the truth of who you are to your inner man, but not to the outward man. The mysteries is the key to changing the world. These mysteries, this ancient knowledge, this wisdom that comes from the mind of God himself, why it makes sense to him that, oh, you got a blind eye there, oh, be healed, and they're healed. Jesus didn't, wasn't shocked. Wow, it worked, and wasn't disappointed. Oh, it didn't work for you. Jesus had an understanding that grew in him about this power of God that was available through him. And now that same power, that same Holy Ghost, that power of the Holy Ghost is available to you and to me as believers in Christ. But it's not automatic. We must develop that authority of the love of Christ so the Holy Spirit can do the work that he's always wanted to do. And we'll see here that one of the keys of that is the mysteries. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, mysteries are ancient knowledge, understanding from God's mind. Paul talks here in chapter 2. We went through this in the last couple sessions. But there's a human wisdom, a natural wisdom, a religious wisdom. And there is a spiritual wisdom, a heavenly wisdom. Let's see, we'll start in, yeah, we'll just go to chapter 2. I don't want to repeat a lot of what I taught the last couple of sessions. Verse 1, and well, brother, I came to you, did you not come with I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should be not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom. So it's not saying that you faith people are just a bunch of dumb, unintelligent people that have blind faith and believe God and jumping off of bridges and throwing people out of wheelchairs. You know, be healed in faith because you're bold. No, he's saying there is a wisdom that we do teach, but we don't teach the wisdom of this earth, this human wisdom, who win you over with persuasive words and personalities and things like that. We teach a wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. So we teach a pure gospel, a pure word, a mysteries that have come from God's mind himself into me, Paul is saying. And that's what I teach you. Now, if you're not mature, I can't teach you the things that he taught me. I have to dumb it down so that you can comprehend it. If you're carnal, which they were, I have to teach you with milk. I have to speak to you in carnal language. However, we speak a wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for your glory, which none of the rulers of the age knew, for had they known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. So God did hide his plan and his wisdom from the world, from the rulers, the Pharisees, the high priest, so that they didn't know what he was doing. But now that we're born again on the other side of Christ, as children of God, we can understand these mysteries. Why? Because we change. Something in us had to change. And that was we received a new nature. And that new nature, that generator of righteousness, brought to life our inner man. And it also is now as righteous and holy as that new nature. You are a righteous child of God on the inside. This is where I love the idea of accepting who you are and identifying with your who God made you. When you do it as I am a child of God, I'm wearing the body of Adam. That's no longer me. I am who God says I am. That's a good thing. But when that's it. If that's all you ever do, then you're going to stay an immature child of God your whole life. But there's a path of growing that inner man, growing the knowledge of the inner man. And look what it says here. I'll go down to verse 10. But God revealed them. That word them is referring to the mysteries. God has revealed the mysteries, his ancient wisdom, to us through his Spirit. That is, through your new nature. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Your inner man and the new nature seek after the things of God. Because your inner man is the child of God. Your outward man that you're wearing is the child of Adam. That's why God's going to replace it and give you a new outward man with a new outward mind and emotions that are pure and righteous like your inner man is. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Again, that's the new nature. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. That's still talking about your inner man. Here is a picture of an inner man that Paul is saying that your inner man is now able to hold and understand this revelation, these ancient mysteries. In the next session, I'm going to try to talk about how the process works. that those mysteries begin to, I begin to live out of those mysteries and understand those mysteries. We don't change our thinking of our outer man. We change where we think from. But I'll do that next time, hopefully. Let's just do a few more here. For we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The way we can understand the things that God has freely given to us is not by studying extra hard with our natural mind, but by allowing the Holy Spirit to teach our spiritual mind and deposit truth, mysteries into our spiritual mind. We change so we can understand God, not Him. He didn't change. We changed. And how did we change? We got born again. Verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual to spiritual. Now that's an interesting wording. The Holy Spirit is a spirit, and we are a spirit in our inner man. Your inner man is not like a glowing ghost. It is your inner body. It has a mind, a place to hold spiritual knowledge. You have emotions, a place to establish and build the emotions of love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. And it has desires that desire God. These things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual to spiritual. The Holy Spirit, when He teaches you, it's spirit to spirit. Let's go quickly here so I don't go too long. Over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. Talking about your personal prayer language. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That word understanding also means intellect. Again, this is where a lot of people who don't understand praying in tongues feel that us faith people, us tongue-talking Pentecostal types, that we're just ignorant, unknowledgeable, and we believe in just blind faith, that we don't know how it works. We don't chase after knowledge or spiritual knowledge. We just believe God. The Word says it. That's it. I believe it. And run off the cliff and yank people out of their wheelchair, hoping it works. No, there is an intellect. And that's what he's saying here. The Holy Spirit teaches you spirit to spirit. Now, a teacher's job is to pass what he knows to you so that you know it. Otherwise, we don't call him a teacher. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He'll take what He knows and pass it to you, but it's spirit to spirit. He bypasses your natural man's intellect. Your natural man doesn't gain anything when you pray in tongues. I told you my new fun fact that I like to share, that Australia, the country, is as wide as the moon. In fact, it's a little wider than the moon is wide. That's a fun fact. See, I taught you that fun fact. You now know that fun fact. You can impress and amaze all your friends by sharing that fun fact. Did you know that Australia is as wide or a little bit wider than the moon? Wow, you're so smart, they will say, because you have this knowledge. But yet, when you pray in tongues for 2 hours, with the teacher, spend time with the Holy Spirit, the teacher, and He taught you spirit to spirit knowledge. That's what wisdom is. That's what teaching is. Where did that wisdom go? Can you tell me what He taught you in those 2 hours? You'll probably say, I have no idea. I just flapped my tongue and prayed in tongues for 2 hours. I don't feel any change. I don't recall anything He taught me. He didn't show me anything. Well, where did that knowledge go? Where did those mysteries go? You still have them, but they're in your inner man's mind. In the next session, I will share with you how you get that knowledge from your spiritual man to overtake the knowledge of your outward man. But here it's very clear. When you pray in tongues, Your spirit prays, your inner man prays, but your outward man, your understanding is unfruitful. Your natural intellect is left out of the picture because your natural man's ability to understand, to comprehend, is so far lower than your inner man's ability to understand and comprehend the truth that comes from God. Now, your natural man may be able to help you learn how to be a doctor, or learn how to be a plumber, or learn how to make sales, or your natural man is very smart. It can make rockets with the natural intellect of a man. But the natural man cannot ever comprehend this truth, these mysteries. See, human wisdom is for the outward man. That's why the outward man understands, the outward intellect understands human wisdom, religion that's crept into the church. Makes sense to it, but the natural man will never really be able to understand who you are, the wisdom mysteries that come from God. That is the job of the inner man. Let's go to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians in verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. You want to know where to get the mysteries of understanding these deep truths of God, understanding the wisdom of God? Do you want to know where to get the mysteries of even understanding your personal walk with God? Praying in the Holy Ghost. You speak out those mysteries through that process of you praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit begins to download through that praying in tongues, spirit to spirit, the mysteries and wisdom and ancient truth of God. That's the only thing He wants you telling anybody. The only thing God wants you to talk about in the name of Jesus is the mysteries you receive by the teaching of the Holy Spirit to you, including the Word of God, through the Word of God, of course. He doesn't want us teaching our opinions, our ideas, man's ideas, worldly wisdom, human wisdom. There's no power in that. But there is power in the wisdom that comes from God to change your life, to change your family's life, to change your future, to help you to overcome just by allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you the mysteries by praying in other tongues. And those mysteries are kept in your spirit, in your inner man. In your inner man is a place to hold those truths. I call it the mind of the spirit. This inner man's mind. All that knowledge when you pray in tongues is kept there, built up there, established there. And then one day it's going to come and overtake the false knowledge, the lesser knowledge of the outward man. And we'll talk more about that next session. I'm very pleased and proud that you're spending time with me. It means a lot to me. I thank you for it. God believes in you. I believe in you. God loves you. I love you. We're going to change the world. We will see a revival. The revival of the outer rain is going to happen. We will see our families changed and our cities changed and our countries changed. We will see many come to Christ, but not through our own ability, our own wisdom, our natural talents, through the help of the Holy Spirit in us. We take the mysteries and we share them. That's how we share the truth of the gospel. I love you and I'll see you again soon. God bless you.